In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Cyprian of Carthage, one of the greatest theologians of the early Christian church in the 3rd century, famously wrote these words: "There is no salvation outside of the church." Though some may say that arguments about what the church is really began to surface at the time of the Reformation in the 16th century, this battle has really raged from the beginning. In Genesis 1 and 2, God had set up his church on earth through the power of his holy word. God had given his command to Adam not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This was the word that Adam was to preach to his wife Eve and to their children. To live apart from that word meant death. God had set up his church to nurture his creation in the life that he had breathed into them. But Satan came to propose an alternate church. "You will not die," he said to Eve. "You will be like God." The devil's church is an entirely different and opposing word. His word, a lie, led Adam and Eve and all creation into death. The church of God, did God really say, was born? Unfortunately, in our world today, it doesn't seem so cut and dry as what the church is. God's voice doesn't boom from heaven, and neither does the devil appear in the form of a talking snake. Unfortunately, many, Christians included, look in all the wrong places for the true church. Everybody has different criteria. Some want a church that is really uplifting and has worship services that make you feel good. Some want really great programs for their children. Some want a pastor that's really young. Some want a pastor that's really experienced. Some are stuck with me. Some want a church that will help them navigate through the different challenges that often come up in a world that is always changing. While these things are not necessarily bad in and of themselves, they miss the criteria that Christ himself lays out in his word. For though God does not speak in the same way that he spoke to Adam any longer, he has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, whose word is recorded for us in the sacred scriptures. In our gospel reading for today, Jesus began to sketch out exactly what the church is. He says, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer, and on the 3rd day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations." When Jesus sent out the apostles, the mission was simple and the mission was clear. Because he suffered, died, and rose again on the 3rd day, they were to call sinners to repentance and to forgive those sinners who repented in Jesus' name. St. Matthew, in his gospel, gives us another directive from our Lord. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." With these words, Jesus tells the apostles exactly how it is they are to make disciples: through baptism and through teaching them his word. It's worth noting that Jesus doesn't age limit here who ought to be baptized. He simply says all nations, which would include everyone, to the very youngest to the oldest. Then finally, Jesus gives a directive that is recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and in 1 Corinthians: to eat and to drink his true body and blood under bread and wine for the forgiveness of sins. Thus, Jesus says that the true church is found wherever his word is taught in its truth and purity, and where sinners are baptized into his death and resurrection for the forgiveness of their sins, and where his true body and blood are given for Christians to eat and to drink, again, for the assurance that their sins are indeed forgiven. The church has historically shortened this by saying that the true church is gathered where the word of God is rightly taught and where the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper are done in accord with Christ's word. We even have biblical examples of this. In Acts chapter 2, after St. Peter preached his great sermon at Pentecost, where he called sinners to repentance, he urged them to be baptized into the forgiveness of sins. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." This set the pattern laid down by our Lord Jesus in the Gospels. The church continued to operate this way. Acts 2:42 says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers." And so the church in the time of the apostles was found in the Word of God and in the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. And so, we should not think our age any more unique or special than the time of Christ and his ministers. We should not look for Jesus apart from these things. The author of Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Since that is the case, we can be confident in the fact that Jesus still comes to us today through these means, through his word, purely taught, and his sacraments. Where these things are, that is where Jesus promises to be. And this, dear friends in Christ, is what the church is. God's people gathered around the words and promises of Jesus. And the reason Christ establishes the church is this. Likewise, it is simple as the mission was simple. Jesus wants sinners to be saved from sin and death. Jesus says of baptism in Mark chapter 16, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." The Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter 3, "Baptism now saves you." In our epistle reading from Romans chapter 10, St. Paul says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And how is it that they are to be taught to call upon the name of the Lord? The Apostle Paul says, "Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." And so to be joined to the church, to Christ's church, is to be joined to Christ himself. To be joined to Christ is to be joined to his death and resurrection unto eternal life. And so in this, our modern day, where the church gets caught up in some pretty silly things in order to satisfy the shopping lists of those who go looking for a church that fits their needs, Christians, both pastors and laity, must insist on this pattern that is laid down by Christ and the apostles in his word. Sinners are not saved by gimmicks and programs. Sinners are saved by the blood of Jesus, who comes to us through his word and his sacraments. And as St. Cyprian said, there is no salvation outside of that church. But inside it, salvation is found in Christ, the Christ who came to save sinners. In Jesus' name, amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, Keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.